and welcome to Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from J.R.R. Tolkien to J.R. Ewing are Rob Deering.
Hello.
Lynn Ferguson.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
And Russell Howard.
Oh.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, of which you will hear this. Just to say, if we experience a drop in cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will automatically drop down in front of you. All you have to do is hook it up to some oxygen and you'll be fine. So, without further ado, let's get straight into our first top three. Our first category is your top three Shakespeare characters. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for the category in question sits out the chat. In this case, it's Rob Deering. Mm-hmm. So if you'd sit this one out, please, Rob. Richard Herring, would you like to start us off?
The three witches who can predict anything in Macbeth, and yet their first line is, "When shall we three meet again?" I would say that was a flaw in that play. I like Shylock. But I actually saw, there's the Al Pacino Shylock. I went to BAFTA when and Al Pacino was there on stage, so we had that kind of question and answer thing about it afterwards. And it was, those BAFTA things are really people just showing off. So the first bloke who asked a question said, Shylock paid the price for his pride. Have you paid the price for being the finest film actor of your generation? So I then thought, well, I'll ask a question. And so I said, I'd like to ask Alan, who'd win in a fight between Shylock and Scarface? Which I think is a better question.
What did he say?
He said Scarface. Well, he's probably right, really. He's got the machine gun.
Russell Howard.
I quite like Macduff.
Why?
I'm a bit like him. I'm not of woman born either, so I could kill Macbeth easy. I'll give him a Chinese burn and a wedgie as well.
Are we allowed to say Macbeth?
I think you're allowed to say it on stage, Andrew. Otherwise, Macbeth would be a bit of a crappy play.
I quite like Lady Macbeth as well, but that's mainly because my flatmate John's got OCD, and she has to wash the blood out. We put loads of Rice Krispies on his floor the other day, and he had to tidy them up, but not before he counted them.
What a kind man you are.
We wrote I Love You in Rice Krispies, so it's fine. I quite like Tybalt, but that's mainly because, he strikes me as a bit of a Dean Gaffney figure. Yeah.
There's people in the audience who don't get the Shakespeare reference, but they're getting the Dean Gaffney reference.
That makes them better people in my eyes. Well done. To be honest, I wasn't really into Shakespeare. We had there was a guy in our class called Gary Williams who used to put his tie in his head, and I'd far rather watch someone go loopy than listen to some bloke prattling on about stuff.
Right.
Come on, it's dreary, isn't it?
Lynn Ferguson, any Shakespeare characters spring to mind?
Loads. Lady Macbeth, obviously, because of the Scottish thing, and also used to be wee boys playing women in the Shakespearean time, and I would like to have heard the wee boy doing the woman doing the Scottish accent during Shakespearean time. And I bet you'd be like the janitor out of The Simpsons or something like that. But you see, I quite like her, and she's quite, admittedly, she does go a bit far. Right. It's a bit far, but I think there's something good in a woman being ballsy on her husband's behalf. And I do things. I make sacrifices for my husband. I'm really nice to civil servants on behalf of my husband. And that is really tricky. The other one is Richard III. Like him, because he's wee, had the humpy back, do you know what I mean? And also, just, the Laurence Olivier film, don't you think he looked like Nana Mouskouri in that purple thing? Just loved that. And I used to go out with somebody who was wee and had the humpy back and a really bad attitude, so I've got a kind of warm thing for Richard III.
I'm just imagining him describing himself at a speed date. As
And Toby Belch, I like him.
Toby Belch is in
Toby
which
Belch.
Play?
He's in Twelfth Night, and he's a big guy who likes drinking and eating and stuff like that. And I've brought you a brilliant quote, right? Forget to be or not to be. His quote is, "Dost thou think, because thou art virtuous, there shall be no more cakes and ale?" Right? I just think that's magic. And I dedicate that one to Dr. Gillian McKeith.
It's quite obvious you're going to get 3 points for quoting from Shakespeare. Even though you wrote it down, I don't care. I've never seen that play. Does he belch in it?
He's great. He's just a big fat guy. Go like that. Whoa, ho, ho, ho.
And he's with... The way you describe it, if you taught me it at school, I would have liked it better.
Puck.
Puck. What's he in?
He's in Midsummer Night's Dream. He's cheeky.
Right. Is that a comedy?
Yeah, sort of.
The Rude Mechanicals and all that are funny.
Yeah, Bottoms. There is good. The bloke who's the chink in the wall, he's good.
A chink in the wall?
He's the chink in the wall. Yeah. Don't go down that route.
I'm only asking.
It's the 21st century.
I've never found him very funny, the comedy.
It's funny if you go and see it at the Globe, actually, it really makes sense, the comedies, because it's all played out. It's like played out to the people standing in front of the stage. It's like a pantomime. And it really makes the comedy make real sense. They are really funny. You know, if you pull a funny face. I like Miranda in The Tempest. She falls in love with the first bloke she sees, which, you know, that's the kind of woman I like. I'm having him. Great. Yeah, don't bother looking around at the others. I am the best. Yeah. Well, I like Balthazar.
Which play is he in?
He's in The Comedy of Errors, The Merchant of Venice, Romeo and Juliet, and Much Ado About Nothing.
Is he?
Well, there's a character called that in every one. It's an unusual name. It's got to be the same bloke.
Do you think?
Yeah. A little running character there for Shakespeare. Don't know what he does. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, they're good.
They're dead.
Nearly everyone in that play is at the end. It's like written by a child. And then he dies, and then they're all dead. And there's what? The end.
Do you want to make a quick stab at my favourite
the
Shakespeare
bear
character?
In The Winter's Tale?
No.
Exit pursued by a bear. No. You've got to like Shakespeare for that. That's a real... So what can I get away with?
No, it's a minor character.
Is it Spot from Macbeth?
Spot?
The dog. No. Out damn Spot.
It's the only character I've ever played.
Cleopatra?
Yeah. No. The Porter.
Oh,
the Porter.
I was going to say the Porter.
It's a great
Look, I've got it written down there.
Oh, I don't care now. Too late now.
Reenacting now.
I pray you'll remember the Porter, he says.
That was good, actually. You can play the Porter.
Yeah. So I'll have a point for remembering one line from the Porter. And it's easy, because you come on, do it, and get off, and that's it. Anyway, we're going to get your top threes now. Richard Herring, your top three Shakespeare characters, please.
Shylock, Macbeth, and the three witches from Macbeth, who are one character.
Okay, Lynn Ferguson.
Lady Macbeth, Richard III, and Toby Belch.
Nice. And Russell Howard, who hates Shakespeare.
I'll go Macduff, Puck, Tybalt.
Well, not many points scored in that round, but there are some bonus points available if anybody matches up their answers with what's in Rob Deering's envelope. So, Rob, please tell us, what are your top three Shakespeare characters?
Right, Hamlet. Because of the Carling Black Label advert where he dropped the skull and did the keepy ups. Brilliant. My noble lord Hamlet. Over here, son. On me head. Petruchio.
Yeah.
Taming of the Shrew.
Right.
He's off of Taming of the Shrew.
Is he off of it?
Juliet is my third one.
Very nice.
Because, you know. So there you go, Hamlet, Petruchio and Juliet.
So no matches there, which means at the end of that round we have, in joint second place, Rob Deering, Richard Herring and Russell Howard. That means in the lead, Lynn Ferguson. Now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. So, Lynn Ferguson, roll-on or aerosol?
Aerosol. Roll-on is just manky. Manky, horrible, manky roll-on. Don't ever ask me again.
What about the sting, the aerosol?
Don't care.
You like it?
Don't care. I'm Scottish. Of course I like it. It's painful. I don't know if you've ever used a roll-on, but if you leave them, they go crusty on the top, and they get a kind of shell you have to put... Oh, they're just awful. And you get bits of people's arm here in it, and it's not even your own. No, aerosol, and give me pain every time.
Okay, 3 points for a passionate answer there for what was a fairly mundane question. Thank you for that, Lynn. Richard Herring, the mothers of invention or fathers for justice?
So that's Frank Zappa's band or some blokes who dress up as superheroes and stand on balconies. I know Frank Zappa wasn't a brilliant father because he gave his kids terrible names, Dweezil and Moon Unit. He's a father who, you know, slightly took the mickey with his kids. So I'll go for the father's justice, who at least keep out the kids' way.
That's very true. I'm going to give you 2 points for thinking it through so carefully. So we'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on with our second top three. Russell Howard, you're sitting this one out. Please sit back as we hammer out the top three Queen songs, as in songs by Queen. Let's start off, please, with Mr. Rob Deering.
So a lot of the really excellent ones have been spoiled for me.
Why?
Well, I think my favourite Queen song is Don't Stop Me Now. I'm a rocketeer, I'm a way to Mars. And, you know, come on, fantastic song.
Keep going.
Covered by On a Collision Course. There's no stopping me. The great way, if you keep going, you get to the high bit, because it gets one of those songs that gets like, burning through the sun, burning the beat, the funny coming, it's a very night, it's only that defeat at night. And also, he's a supersonic man, supersonic woman. He doesn't care. Nice one.
It's true.
In
life. They call him Mr. Fahrenheit. They should call him Mr. or Mrs. Fahrenheit.
Yeah, although that really wouldn't scan, and it's quite a pacey song. Yeah, you know, it's why they call me Mr. or Mrs. Fahrenheit. You know,
Rob,
the drummer's not going to be able to go with that.
Rob, I'm going to give you a record 6 points for that's an amazing performance.
But it's all spoiled because that song was covered by McFly. I mean, my emotions in relation to that are similar to if a tramp came in my house and weed on my bed.
It's going to be hard to match that, but of course singing will get you points here. Richard, would you like to sing?
I'm not going to sing. I don't like Queen at all. And it's been, even if I did like it, it's been spoiled even more by being put in the Ben Elton musical.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's rubbish.
No, it isn't rubbish. It is really good. And actually, I don't even like Queen, and it's really good.
I think you must be the only person in the world who likes Shakespeare and We Will Rock You. I think that's you're on your own in that Venn diagram.
I don't believe, don't bother clapping him in that. I sort of don't like people slagging off Ben Elton because I think, you know, he works, he doesn't go around mugging pensioners or anything.
He does, he does.
I've seen it.
And so there's loads, I've seen some real cack in the West End. Admittedly, you don't have to think about We Will Rock You, but it's not rubbish.
Are you convinced
say
now?
Say sorry to Ben Elton, that's it.
I will never say sorry until Ben Elton says sorry for the last 20 years.
You must like some Queen songs, though,
Richard. I do like Fat Bottom Girls. They make the rock and world go round. I don't think they do. They, if anything, they slightly slow it down. And
Richard, point.
Bicycle Race. I want to ride my bicycle. Oh, is it?
It's my favourite Queen
great
song.
Great, I'm doing well. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like. Well, you can.
Brilliant.
Stop singing about it. Go and do it.
Richard, you get 5 points.
Thank you.
For matching up with mine, although I like it because in the video, which was never shown, it involved 65 naked girls riding around on bicycles.
Oh,
and these bicycles were hired from Harrods, who didn't know what they were being used for. When they found out that they had been ridden on by naked ladies,
yeah,
they made Queen pay for them. And then presumably they sold them on eBay, or would have done. They're probably going around now.
I like Flash as well, the song Flash from the film Flash Gordon.
Ooh,
partly because
it's got
Flash.
Save one of us.
There's a line in it which says, dispatch war rocket Ajax to bring back his body. That's showing a good bit of Flash and Ajax. That is so. That's clearly a very clever little subliminal joke in this. I've got a hats off to Freddie Mercury.
You've clearly scoured the lyrics to find that.
I did.
I've deflected heat from you, Richard. You should be pleased.
That joke was Brillo. Flash is also good because dum 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 dum. You can segue Flash. Dum 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 dum. Tumble out of bed and I stumble in the kitchen. Call myself a cup of ambition and time and stretch and try to come to life.
See, I'm going to give you another point for singing again. You can get points from singing.
I'm walking in there. Not Christmas songs. That is bad luck on stage.
Russell, press the button. You can have a little secret point for singing like a choir boy. Okay. What about the big Queen songs?
Don't Stop Me Now has a very good lyric, which is like a shooting star leaping through the sky, like a tiger defying the law of gravity. Now, I think a tiger defying the law of gravity would be kind of going, and be very freaked out. I don't think that's what he'd be doing. There's some visual element to it, but I don't think it's a very good simile.
Okay, well, give us your top three Queen songs then, Richard Herring.
I want to ride my bicycle race, Fat Bottomed Girls, and Flash.
Okay, Rob Deering, your top three Queen songs?
I'll also go for Flash, Who Wants to Live Forever from Highlander, and of course, Don't Stop Me Now.
Okay, Lynn Ferguson, your top three?
Don't Stop Me Now, We Will Rock You, because there's a brilliant musical named after it. And actually, just for flagrant point-seeking, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, well, points have been given in the round. We'll find out if there are any additional points. Russell, please open your envelope. Tell us your top three Queen songs.
Right, Don't Stop Me Now, We Will Rock You. And is there one called I'm Going Slightly Mad?
Yes.
I like that one.
You've got 3 points there, Russell, for matching up once with Rob, who had Don't Stop Me Now, and twice with Lynn Ferguson, who had Don't Stop Me Now and We Will Rock You. That's 2 points for her, 1 point for Rob, and at the end of that round, we find in last place Russell Howard, amazingly, joint second, Lynn Ferguson, Richard Herring, but in the lead, Mr. Rob Deering. OK, time for another quick-fire round. This time it's Simply the Best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite Cluedo suspect. As the audience arrived today, we asked them who their favourite Cluedo suspect was, and I guess we'll score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourites. So, then, Lynn Ferguson, your favourite Cluedo suspect, please.
My favourite Cluedo suspect is Miss Scarlet.
Yeah. A lot of support there for Miss Scarlet. OK, Russell Howard, yours?
Professor Plum.
Big Plum crowd in. Okay, Rob Deering.
For his spiritual and environmental concerns, Reverend Green.
Very good indeed. Richard Herring, finally.
Miss Scarlet, because I'd like to do her in the kitchen with a candlestick.
Thank you very much. Let's have a look then at the results of the audience survey. In third place, Colonel Mustard with 21%. Miss Scarlet had 23%. She came second, but the winner was Professor Plum with 28%.
Plum Schmum, Reverend's coolest.
Yeah. Democracy has prevailed. Russell Howard gets 5 points for matching up with Professor Plum, and we move on to our next top three. This time it's your top three non-terrestrial TV channels. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out. You can go and watch television. What do you think, Lynn Ferguson?
Biography. Like biography a lot.
What's on that?
Well, it's biographies. It's always stories about people with really miserable lives. And I really like that. They go, they had a really successful career, millionaire by the age of 25, but was there tears behind the smiles? For everybody, for every one of them, and there always is. So I like that. I like the Disney Channel, right, and there's a reason why I like the Disney Channel, because I've got a three-year-old, right, and he used to watch CBeebies. Right, but now he's got too old for CBeebies. Now he went into Boomerang, but they just show Scooby-Doo over and over and over and over again. And then he got into the Cartoon Network, which is great. They've got all these amazing sort of Chinese cartoons in them, like Shaolin Showdown and stuff like that, right? But his language was just getting really odd. Well, not when he was wee, right? Because I wanted him to be feeling quite good about himself, right? So the first thing that he could say was, "I'm gorgeous," right?
Oh, great.
It's nice, isn't it? So you go out and you go, "Fergus says," and he goes, "Gorgeous." And the other day we were going to the nursery and we were having a discussion about show and tell, and he was getting a bit cross with me. And on the way we met this really nice wee old pensioner, right? And she looked at me and went, "Oh, you're lovely." And he went, "I'm not lovely, I'm gorgeous." And then, as she was walking away, he went, "You're ugly mutt." You can't really have that. So they make a channel where there's kids' shows and they don't call each other "you're ugly mutt." I think that's good.
The Disney Channel, though, I should point out, in England is called the Doesn't Channel.
Oh, Rob.
Do you love the delay on that? I thought, no one's going to get that.
Russell, I expect you don't watch the main terrestrial channels too much.
Well, I like God UK and the God Channel. Right. Have you seen that? Absolute belters. The God Channel is an American kind of thing where it's always some guy who's been cured of it. You know, so like he used to like hang out in bins and now God found him and now, you know, he's going to be a lawyer. Whereas, and then God UK is just fantastic.
Well, we found more cheese in the fridge than we'd expected. And a very quiet prayer to the Lord.
This is fantastic. UK Gold, that's given my nan a reason to live. It's so just genuinely lovely to see my nan watch Last of the Summer Wine over and over. And just to watch that, the smile on her face. If there was a programme called Giggly Pensioner Island, I'd watch that. Just Horlicks being flung everywhere and just an effigy of Ken Dodd. But, you know, I like the Crime Channel, mainly for the work of Sheriff John Purnell. He's basically an American cop who always, "Look at this crazy hoodlum running away." And he's really orange. He looks a bit like Morph. And he always gets his man. He's fantastic.
Is he real rather than official?
Yeah, no, Sheriff John Purnell. He's real.
Russell, I'm going to give you 2 points for caring so much about your nan.
Okay.
I think that's very sweet.
I like my granddad too.
Rob Deering?
Teachers TV, of course. Fascinating, you know, with that look inside the classroom. The different shows are things like Key Stage 1, or anything with poker, you know, because there's an awful lot of poker. It doesn't matter what channel.
I have my own poker show on TV, and I've got the envelope. There's a clue. I'm not going to tell you what the channel is.
There's a channel called Setenta.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but
just
it's
football.
Cool. It's football?
Yeah,
Irish football.
That's disappointing in a way, because I just like it being called Setenta.
You don't want
to
know.
You've got a problem? You know who you need to speak to? Setenta. Up there, a lot of those channels are like that. Setenta, Bloomberg. Have you met Bloomberg? He studied with Setenta.
He has an assistant as well, Bidup. Have you seen Bidup TV?
I actually always see CBeebies. The only thing that upsets me about CBeebies is quite worthy. Frankly, you know, at a year and a half, you can only be told that many times a day that it's good to recycle. You know?
I like the channels that are just the normal channel plus one, so it's the same as the original channel, but it's an hour later.
That's wicked.
That's
because
spooky.
Cooking always takes longer than you thought.
Okay, let's get your top threes then. We'll start with you, Russell. Your top three non-terrestrial TV channels.
Well, it's for Richard, so I'm going to go Babecast, the Crime Channel, and the Poker Channel.
Lynn Ferguson, yours, please.
Poker Channel has to be in there. Biography, because I like it and I don't care. And Disney, because I want you to say Disney.
Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Rob Deering?
Setenta. Teachers TV. And Richard's poker program.
Okay, we'll see if, when Richard Herring opens his envelope, his own poker channel is
in
there.
I may have given a clue. Number one, no one got the name of the channel correct.
Is it Poker Zone?
Poker Zone, which I do a show called Heads Up with Richard Herring, which will be repeated, I think, at 3 o'clock in the morning for the next 15 years. Two is Challenge TV, which shows old quiz shows, and I got just obsessed in it. I was at the Edinburgh Festival this year, and rather than going and seeing works of art and plays and other comedians, I stayed in and watched old episodes of Bullseye. The third one is Bid Up TV.
Even though none of you said Poker Zone by name, you've all kind of hinted at it, so we'll let you all have a point, which means a match for all of you, 1 point each, but 3 points to Richard Herring for mentioning his own channel.
I never thought being on Poker Zone would get me so much.
So after that round, the scoreboard looks like this. In joint third place, Lynn Ferguson and Richard Herring. Second, Russell Howard. But in the lead, Rob Deering. Okay, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from bar billiards to pub cricket. So, Russell Howard, who would win at croquet, Timmy Mallett or MC Hammer?
Clash of the Titans. It's a big one. It depends, really, because Mallett is very often doing uni gigs, so he's up late at night. But so it'd be a bit, you know, him and Chesney Hawks hitting the circuit. And that's all they do now, just meet on motorway service stations. Where are you? Loughborough. What were you? Keel. The only snag Hammer's got is if he brings those massive pantaloons with him, because he won't be able to swing the croquet thing underneath. Well, I'd go with Hammer. I think he'd knock it through, and then he'd smash Mallett in the face and go, you're not my real dad.
You paint a very vivid picture, Russell. I'll give you 3 points for that. Rob Deering, who would win at rowing? Brian Cox or Hugh Scully?
Yeah, tough. I've got to say, I think that it's a waste of a pun to have Brian Cox in a rowing joke. It has to be Cox. He'd be the top rower because of his kind of spy master role in the Jason Bourne films, and they are my Bible.
They're brilliant
films.
When
I met Matt Damon, I said, Jason Bourne is my mantra.
And what did he say back?
Matt Damon.
He kind of just... he just gave me a funny look.
Fair enough. Well, you can have 2 points anyway for bringing up Jason Bourne, who is the new James Bond. Right, well, we'll add those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Lynn Ferguson, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three things you can wear on your head. Richard Herring?
Your pants.
Yes. Why is that funny, do you think?
Because they're meant to go on your bottom. And bottoms are funny. And then, so it's the juxtaposition of the inappropriateness of pants being on your head, something that it's the last place they're meant to be.
I used to, this is really embarrassing, I used to go to sleep when I was about sort of 14 with a pair of my pants on my head. Because I had really bad acne and I thought my hair was getting into my face. So I used to wear pants.
Russell,
you know
why you had acne?
Why?
Because you were wearing pants on your head. A traffic cone is also not as amusing as pants, but a traffic cone is meant to be in the road. So again, it's the juxtaposition.
Yeah. Also really, really embarrassing, I've got to say. I had bunions for a while. And I just, Voldemort. on the... I'm not sorry to say out loud, but it's just a name. He's on the back of a thing he said.
Yeah, yeah. Professor Quirrell's
hat. That's the one, yeah.
But I was going to say the Sorting Hat.
Is that Harry Potter
How
as well?
Old are you
yeah.
two?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Come on, the Sorting Hat tells you what house you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Not if you put your...
And in the books, it's always really important because you want to be in Gryffindor and you Absolutely. Don't want to be in Slytherin. But in real life, you wouldn't mind being in Slytherin because at least then you'd be evil. Yeah. What you don't want to be is...
Hufflepuff. Hands. When you're a kid, you put a pan on, pretend you're a soldier.
Or a colander.
Yeah.
I put a colander on my head the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. And someone said, what did you do in the war? And I said, I rinsed the vegetables. It was hilarious. What's a good one? A fascinator. You know those little tiny wedding hats that look like someone's taken a freeze frame picture of someone shooting a bird on the side of your head? That's a fascinator.
Really?
That's what they're called.
Wow.
How about the faces that Tom Cruise has in Mission Impossible? Imagine the scams you could pull at, like, a railway station. You know when they give out free drinks? And I've had some orange, then... Another orange, please. You smell familiar, do I?
Fez.
Yeah, Tommy Cooper hat.
What's great is that's hilarious without any juxtaposition. You know what I mean? No pants on the head, no traffic cones, just a fez, because they're ridiculous.
It's very insulting to the people of Egypt.
Judges.
but they only wear them in James Bond films, so that's okay.
How about a judge's wig? They look fun, don't they?
Yeah, aren't they going to phase those out?
I'll have them.
Indiana Jones's Dusty Federer. Sorry, Fedora. Federer's a tennis player.
Roger's brother, oh, Dusty.
He was playing in
no one's
French
got home. My favourite hat.
Oh, it's a hat, is it?
Trilby.
Oh, you're giving it away.
Bowler.
Ooh, sombrero.
No.
Sombrero's a good
top
one.
Hat. No. Bowler hat. World one of those hats.
Chili poppers.
Two beers in them that you could drink through the straw.
Hats with the clapping hands where you pull the string and the hands clap.
No.
A wimple.
No. It was a Breton fisherman's cap.
That's what
we
I mean.
All wore those in the provinces in the 80s. A Breton fisherman's cap. They're crazy. Okay, let's get your top three things you can wear on your head. Start with Russell Howard, please.
Tom Cruise mask, wig, and cowboy hat.
Okay, Rob Deering, what are your top three?
Toupee, fascinator, and Indiana Jones's dusty fedora.
Lovely. Richard Herring, your top three, please.
Pants, a pan, and a Panama.
Very nice. Well, the scores are currently as close as four peas in a pod, so this could change everything. Lynn Bergeson, open your envelope. What are your top three things you can wear on your head?
Well, I put sombrero. I do like sombreros because they're practical and funny. Toupees. And the other thing that I like is I like crash helmets.
Rob said toupee, and Lynn, you had toupee, so 1 point to both of you. That means, adding those in, I'm afraid, at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Lynn Ferguson, Richard Herring and Russell Howard, and our winner is Rob Deering. So that's all from today's show. Big thank you to all my guests. And remember, if John Lennon was really as clever as everybody says, he should have written And No Religion Either. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collins and featured Rob Deering, Lynn Ferguson, Richard Herring and me, Russell Howard. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Richard Grocott. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.